I invite you this morning to turn to Galatians chapter 3, verses 27 through 28, as we prepare to hear the words presented to us this morning. That's Galatians chapter 3, verses 27 through 28. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Over the years, we've heard some of the jokes that go on about saying that church is a country club. The church is a place that you go to hang out where the affluent people go and they visit and worship with others. And everybody that goes to that church is just like them. They look like them, they act like them, they make the same amount of money, and there's really no diversity. It's just everybody's the same. And I would like to say that a lot of those are jokes, but in some sense, there is some truth to that. Because, unfortunately, there have been churches that have reflected the truth of that statement, that on some occasions, they reflected an atmosphere of exclusiveness rather than one of inclusiveness. In other words, you can't come in this club if you're not like us. And if you don't do what we say and you don't act like us. Brothers and sisters, what we remember is that that is not the intent of the church. As we just heard the words from both the baptism and the joining, the profession of faith this morning, that we recognize the church to be for all people, all nations, races, no matter what. And that's what Christ intended, not some form of being exclusive. Because the church is a place where we all are part of one body, the body in Christ, without any difference or any concern for our ethnicity, our geography, or any of these other differences. And that's what these words tell us this morning we hear from Galatians, that we have all been baptized and clothed in Christ. And that there's no longer Jew or Greek. We're all the same. We're all one in Christ Jesus, baptized in Christ, clothed in Christ, no longer any different. So this sacrament of baptism and this service of joining this morning, joining together in membership, what is it that that means to us? When we start talking about you've got to do these things to get into the church, well, I want to make sure that we clarify that these are not the same as joining some country club, to where you've got to meet X, Y, and Z before you join. The church is not a country club. The membership in the United Methodist Church is open to all who have been baptized and have professed their faith. Baptized and clothed, as heard in Galatians this morning, they have professed their faith and been baptized. And as members of the church, once we join, we are responsible and charged with the mission of the church. And that is to make disciples. And that is to remain faithful through both the good and the bad. That is to proclaim the word, proclaim the gospel, and exemplify the gospel. In other words, we live the gospel everywhere that we go. Because each of you, each of us in this place, have been called into ministry in our daily lives. We are all ministers of God. We're all preachers. We're all teachers. We're all ambassadors to Christ. But when we think back to that country club statement just for a second, what we understand about country clubs is that they have certain rules that address how you're supposed to look, what you've got, what titles you've got to have behind your name before you can get in, how much money you make, what kind of property you own. There's rules about property use and all kinds of other things. But those requirements, even though they sound serious to get into a club, they don't come anywhere close to reflecting the commitment that we make when we say yes to Christ. They don't come anywhere close to the commitment that we make when we join the church or we receive our baptismal vows. They don't come anywhere close to that level of commitment. Because when we take that step and we make that commitment as those did here this morning, the three that were presented to us, then we are called. Hear this, we are called to renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, to reject the evil powers of this world, and we're called to repent of our sin. And that's a pretty tall order.
But it doesn't stop there, because we're also called to accept the freedom. In other words, God's grace poured out on us to accept that freedom and that power that God gives us to resist evil and injustice and oppression, and to understand what our social principles are, and to stand up for those that are being done wrong, and stand up for those that are being oppressed. We're also called to confess Jesus Christ as our Savior and put every bit of our trust in Him, even when it's good and when it's bad, to trust in Christ. And we also give our promise to serve Him in every way. And as we join the church and we're baptized, we're charged with remaining faithful members of Christ's holy church. And we're told that we must be ambassadors of Christ, living in a way that reflects His light into the world. We're instructed to be loyal to the church and to do all that we can in our power to strengthen His ministry. And hear those words. That's a tall order. Do everything within your power to strengthen the ministry of the church, at whatever cost that may be, and how inconvenient that may be. But we are charged with being faithful members. We're charged with being faithful in supporting the ministries of the church through our presence. In other words, we come to church. Through our gifts, we participate in the acts of tithing. Through our service, we participate in mission. And through our witness, we tell other people what God has done in our lives. And then the last part of that you heard this morning is that we must also receive and profess the Christian faith as contained in the Scriptures of the Old and the New Testaments. Being faithful in our membership, taking serious these membership and baptismal vows, is key for our spiritual growth. And we take these responsibilities seriously as we are very intentional on prayer and celebrating the sacraments, in study, and in serving, and in giving, and in general disciplined living. People look to you as the people that are called Christians to set an example for how they should respond, because we've heard that term over and over. You might be the only Bible that somebody reads today. There is some truth in that, and that if people know you go to church, that you're a member of the church, and they see how you respond in a situation, whether good or bad, they're going to take that as an affirmation for them to respond in the same way. It's kind of like your children. If they see mommy and daddy doing it, they think it's all right to do it. And that we have to remember. That's part of our responsibility. To be that living gospel. To be that ambassador of Christ into all the places we go. Whether it be work, play, family, wherever we go. Is to be that light of Christ shed into the community. Last week we talked about John Wesley's Sermon 2. The difference between an almost Christian and an altogether Christian. And about how what it took to make that transition from being one to the other. And we were called then to remember that first, we must love God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all that we are. And then also we were to love our neighbor without reservation, even those whom we considered enemies. And in doing these things, then we would be living that love of Christ, shining His light into those places of darkness. And that through our commissioning, we have been commissioned to tell and to live the gospel, to make disciples, and to bring people into connection through baptism. The nature of this church, the nature of the Methodist church, and the nature of the church is one of inclusiveness rather than exclusiveness like you find with the country club. And I ask you today to think just for a minute about your own spiritual growth, where you are. Think back for a moment about your baptismal vows as you were asked to do this morning. Think back about your membership vows that you took when you joined the church. And ask yourself this: where in the past month have you taken seriously in your life the vows of membership and of baptism for this church, for our Christ, and for the relationship that you have with God? Where have you taken seriously the vows of membership? Did you reject sin in some difficult way? Did you feel God's power? Did you help another person repent offer Christ to them as a form of witness? Is there something that you did that was hard to strengthen the ministry of the church? Did you trust God without any doubt in some place in your life? Did you pray in a continual way, in a reverent way? Did you give? Did you serve? Where is it that your membership vows and your the vows of the baptismal covenant have been reflected in your life? Because I say to you that we each, every one of us, must be intentional in how serious we take these vows. To recall these vows every day and remember what it is that we actually have. Because our God first reached out to us in His grace and His mercy. And our God is the one that enabled these things to happen. Let us be intentional. Let us be intentional in living in the light of Christ. That we may remove all barriers, that we love our friends, we love our enemies, and that we invite all into connection in the church. That exclusiveness would be gone and inclusiveness would be the word. That together we come and welcome the least, the last, and the lost. Let us not just say our vows. Let us live these vows to the glory of God through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen.